What is up, everybody? Chris and Eric back with another edition of Chris Aiken Presents. Eric, my friend, how are you doing, my man?
Doing great. Doing great. Survived Mother's Day.
Yes. How about
now,
that?
You haven't celebrated Mother's Day yet, apparently.
I have not. Not yet. My I celebrated Mother's Day by sending my mom a three-word text. Happy Mother's Day.
But I guess that's better than like HMD, like an acronym.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not that big of a douche. But no, I am celebrating Mother's Day next Sunday because my mom and my brother were out in North Carolina with my niece who graduated from wherever in North Carolina with her master's degree. So she's she's like 23 years old and already going to be more successful than any of us. But they had, what a weird weekend they had on Mother's Day weekend. They had graduation. So she was out there. So she wasn't here. So, you know, I get to be the black sheep son that gets to celebrate it late, but that's okay.
Yeah. There was a similar situation going on with my family. I have two nieces that are also up in college, and my sister, who's their mother, went up to see them. So that messed up the whole family dynamic, leaving my mom, who's 75 now, kind of lonely and upset. So I'm glad I actually had, you know, called her and said, "Hey mom, you want to do Mother's Day over at my place at the Beach Mansion West?"
Nice.
And she said, yeah, she was excited about it. So we, Susan and I hosted a Mother's Day, just a small thing with my stepdad and my mom, and I cooked I made some steaks and some rosemary potatoes, some fried zucchini.
No bulgogi.
Did a Greek salad that my mom liked a lot.
Nice.
She's very cool, you know, half Greek, so
that's cool.
If she wanted seconds, that's a compliment to me, you know. She's like, "More Greek salad, please."
Nice.
So I whipped that up, had some dessert, too.
I think the big news of this week, me and you are going to actually see each other face-to-face instead of screen-to-screen.
Yeah, this is in Willowboro, did I say that
Willoughby.
Right?
Willoughby. Yeah. Willoughby. Yeah, you're going to be here. Of course, I won't be at the show because I'll be doing Mother's Day, but I will make a point to, since I don't sleep anyway on Sundays, since I do the CMS and then do right after I do the processing, right after I'm done processing the show, I'll be running out to Willoughby to go have lunch with you, and we'll hang out for a while. And you know,
yeah, man, do it.
Should be fun.
Hell yeah, we'll have to video some of that too.
Yeah, video some of that. I don't know. will we have any drinks, or is that taboo for you pre-show?
It depends. I don't typically drink anymore before a show. I usually wait till after.
Maybe one or two. I mean, it's not often you get to see me.
That's right. That's right. It's a special occasion.
That's right. And plus, I got to drive home anyway and then back to my mom, so I can't be all fucked up.
Right. You can't have more than two drinks an hour or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, dude, I've done that too before, man. That's the worst. When I first came back, the first time I came back from Korea, when I was stationed in Korea in the military, first time I came, and it's a long flight. Let me tell you, it's a very long flight. So I was on Korean Air. I think Korean Air was like 9 hours from Gimpo Airport to LAX. And then from LAX, it's another, I think, 4 to 6 hours back to, or I think it was like 4 hours to Detroit and then an hour to Cleveland, right? Well, the entire time on the Korean Air flight, now, remember, I'm 18 years old at this point, so I'm not even legal to drink in the United States.
Right.
I was in Korea, though, and on the Korean Air flight, free beer. Ooh. It was free OB beers, which OB was like their, OB was their version of Miller Lite or Budweiser, just cheap piss beer in Korea. Well, I must have drank, in 9 hours, I must have drank a case. I just kept pounding beers, man. I was just knocking down drink, and then I'm drinking a few mixed drinks. I'm buying a couple of mixed drinks as well.
Now, who else is on the plane? Is this
it was me and my girlfriend at the time, Brenda.
Okay.
We were just on the plane getting annihilated. Like, she passed out. She literally passed out next to me from, because we were partying. We were absolutely partying on the plane. And
I get more drunk up on a plane if I've ever drank. It's like the pressure, the thinner air. I don't know. It's like,
it's, you know, back then there was no movie or nothing on the plane. We didn't have an iPod or something to watch. It was dead time. So it was, you could read a book or you could drink. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did, was we sat there and just drank and told stories and talked to each other until she passed the fuck out. So I get off the plane, I mean, annihilated, but I faked it good enough for LA. I had to run across LA. It was one of the rare times that the booking was good and I didn't have like a 4-hour layover or whatever.
Right.
I literally had to run to the other end of LAX, get on a plane that was boarding when I landed. So it was like literally run across drunk, get to on the plane in at LAX. They don't check me to see if I'm hammered because they were holding the plane for me.
Right.
So I get straight onto the plane. I order a drink. They bring it to me because I was in uniform. They didn't check to see if I was 18 or whatever. They just handed me a drink. Okay, well, then I'll have another, and then I'll have another, and then I'll have another. By the time I got to Detroit, I was barely able to stand. But they still let me get on the plane. It was one of those little quick flights from Detroit to Cleveland. It literally goes up, it comes down. There's no there's no length of flight. It's probably 25 minutes, 30 minutes. I get off in Cleveland. My mom's there. She's excited to see me. Hasn't seen me in, 7 months? First time her baby's ever been away. Hey, what's up?
Mom.
Just annihilated drunk. And she was just like, ugh, this has to happen, right? She was so disappointed in me. And then to make it even worse, then she was even more disappointed in me on that whole visit. I don't think I ever was sober. Like, never. Every night it was, you know, it was running around with my friends that were all first-year college students. And I was like, okay, you guys think you can drink, but let me show you what I learned while I was away.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it was just a drink fest. At one point, my dad cornered me in the kitchen. I was getting a beer and he's like, are you going to drink everything in the house? And I was like, yeah, I think I did. Cause the fridge was empty.
And you weren't able to replace it cause you weren't even 21.
I couldn't even go buy it. I just drank it out of his fridge and, you know, I just threw money on the table, which, you know, for parents, that's like the ultimate disrespect.
That's right. To pay for anything.
Well, it's just disrespectful to say, here, you know, are you gonna replace that? Here's $20. What do you fucking want from me? You know, that's really how I was too. Just a disrespectful asshole.
Wow. How old were you again? You were 18?
18. Yeah, I turned 19 like 4 months later. I was 18 and 6 months, 8 months maybe.
And you got how long did you stay home before you moved out and got your own place?
Oh, I mean, I was only back for a visit. I was just back for my 30 days that you get every year from the military. So I took my month home and was coming home so my mom and dad could meet the new girl, you know, because I was gonna marry Brenda, and that didn't happen, you know. That's you
sobered up.
Well, no. No, her legs stayed open for everybody else, and it just turned into a problem.
Oh no!
But yeah, you can read that story in my book in the and other things I should not say, because I did tell that story in the book. But
okay,
but yeah, it's it wasn't meant to be, you know. Thankfully, because from what I hear, she's had four other husbands since, and then my cheating session that she cheated on me too. So it's like, ooh.
Was she also 18 or 19?
No, she was like, she was like 23, maybe. She was older. I was dating an older chick.
Oh.
But dude, the worst thing, like she lives in Detroit. She still lives in Detroit. And I went home, and then we were supposed to get together after a week. Like, she was going to see her mom and dad and whatever. I was going to see my mom and dad and whatever. And then I was going to go get, I was going to go see her. I was going to go pick her up and bring her back, you know? And so she called me like 2 days in, is like, can you come and get me? And I was like, yeah, what's up? She's like, just come and get me. This isn't going well here. I was like, okay, no problem. So I borrow my mom's car because I didn't even have a car. You know, I borrow my mom's car. I drive up to Detroit. I get to the house, knock on the door. Big giant dude answers the door.
Oh.
6'4", Marine haircut. He's like, yeah. I'm like, is Brenda here? And he's like, yeah, come on in. And I come in, and the guy's like, I don't even remember his name. I'll just say Robert. You know, he's like, yeah, hey man, I'm Robert. I'm Brenda's husband. I was like, husband? I was like, what? You know? And now I'm freaking the fuck out because I'm in this house. Nobody really knows where I am.
Right.
And here's this 6'4" monster in the house with me, and I'm like, this guy's gonna fucking beat my ass or shoot me.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me, and he saw that I was like clenching fists and getting ready to fight my way out. And he's like, dude, relax. He's like, we're getting divorced. Just relax. Right. And I was like, oh, okay. And then literally, you know, as we drove away, I was so mad, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know she's married. And I'm having her come to meet my parents. You know, she's still married. And it just, and banging me, and it was like, what the hell? You know?
Hey, Mom, this is Brenda and her husband, Robert.
Exactly. I was like, what are you doing? You didn't tell me this? You didn't think you needed to tell me? Well, I was going to on the plane, but, you know, we got to talking, and then it just didn't come up. I was like, oh, Jesus. Okay, whatever. You know, it was.
I've seen stuff like that on X Hamster.
Yeah, exactly.
Husband and wife and the boyfriend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That whole, it's a 3-way cuckold session.
Yeah.
The husband films.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've watched those too. Too funny, man.
So what did you tell your parents? You're like, oh, cancel, abort.
No,
abort.
No, because I was dumb. I was 18. Canceled nothing. No, dude, we had a great time. I will absolutely say she came to the house. She stayed. My mom loved her. My dad loved her. You know, we had
did
one
he
of
love
the,
on her?
He might have fucked her. I don't know. Who knows? But, you know, no, I mean, we had this great time. We went to the amusement park that's here, the big amusement park. We spent a day there. We went and hung out with all my friends. You know, we did all this cool stuff. And then, you know, so we spent the time, and then we were supposed to go back. So what we did was we went back, and we took military flights, which were called MAC flights back in the day, right. Military assisted carrier or something. I don't remember exactly what MAC meant, but we got to Kansas City. And then when we got to Kansas City, the way the MAC flights worked was that they just kind of lined you up, by your, like your, the amount of leave that you had left, and they would take people on as many as they could. It was kind of like a standby thing. And she got on the plane, but I didn't get on the plane. So I had to wait, like, I don't know, 12 hours until the next flight or whatever it was. So she flies back. I wait the 12 hours. I, you know, hang out, do nothing in the airport or in the on the base, you know. So 12 hours later, I take the MAC flight back. I fly back. I get there. I get back on a Saturday night, probably like 8:00. I immediately, I'm like, let me get out of my uniform, and I'm going to get my clothes, and I'm going to go and find her. I'm going to go find her, and then we're going to go to the Ville, and we're going to party. Right.
Right.
I change clothes. I go up to her room, knock on the door. There's somebody in there, but no answer. Open the door because I had a key. Here she is banging another guy. 12 hours. It wasn't even like it was like a week later or something. This was literally 12 hours. I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. This can't be happening.
Nice.
But needless to say, that led to the breakup, and that was that. So, you know, it just did not.
So this is after the husband part?
Yeah, yeah. This was literally, we were together for like, you know, 2-3 weeks or whatever. And then we were flying back to Korea to do our time in Korea. Yeah. And then it was 12 hours difference. If I'd have flown back with her, it wouldn't have been a problem. But it just didn't work out.
That's, I think, common sometimes when women first get divorced or separated, they go nuts for a bit.
Yeah, they do. They definitely, they lose it a little bit. And, mm-hmm. you know, this one definitely did. And like I said, she's been married 4 different times, plus the engaged to me and, you know, 4 different marriages. It's like, oof, I dodged a major bullet, I think, on that one. But, yeah, you know, I don't know. Just not my thing, you know. But that is that. That's a long time ago, man. But
right.
But anyway, dude, we have fantastic guests tonight on the show. I am so pumped. We have Sammy Hagar's son, Andrew Hagar, is going to be joining us in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
He has a few things working. He's got a new song called Systematic Minds that he's going to be doing. He also is going to be on a show on Paramount Plus that deals specifically with sons and daughters of very famous people. You know, it's like he's on it. The Notorious B.I.G.'s kid is on it. There's like 7 or 8 different people that are on it and talking a lot about living in the shadow of that right. big legacy. You know, so we'll talk to him about that. And this guy has a fantastic life, man. He's, yeah, you know, as I was telling you before we started, he trained Fabrizio Verdum, the UFC fighter. He trained him, you know, and Verdum won the UFC.
That name is awesome.
Oh, Fabrizio Verdum. Yeah.
He'll bring the Verdum.
It does. It is a great name, but he trained him. And he became UFC heavyweight champion. So clearly Andrew knows how to fight. You know, clearly he knows something about jiu-jitsu. Or is that what he – I think he's does jiu-jitsu.
Let's ask him about Bruce Lee. What he thinks of Bruce Lee. I've been seeing a lot of stuff that Bruce Lee was just an actor and a lot of his shit was bullshit.
He might have been. Oh, let's ask him.
Specifically the one-inch punch.
Right.
Okay. Because he would like go up to the guy and he would kind of have his finger there and then he'd go,
sure. Right.
But he was really just pushing the person. You know what I mean? He was, and the person would just fall backwards and it would be all dramatic, but it was actually bullshit.
Exactly. Well, we can definitely ask Andrew about that. And then I am so excited that we are going to have, author and, more importantly, Branch Davidian survivor, David Thibodeau on the show.
More serious Chris Bacon presents tonight.
In fact,
I was like, what do I even do for a backdrop tonight? I'm like, geez, do I have like tanks mowing down a village or?
Well, I'm glad you didn't go that route.
Right. That can like trigger the poor guy. And so I was like, all right, well, I did just spend last night with my mom.
Yeah.
So I thought of
with Mama's
Place, which was Vicki Lawrence, of course,
Carol Burnett.
You know what's funny? Like I had I don't know if I had a weird attraction to her, but as a little kid, like all the chicks on this show, I was okay
Vicki Lawrence.
Well, but here's the thing. It's like almost like I knew that underneath there she was hiding a younger.
Okay. Yeah. You knew she was like 30 playing 70 or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. With the big moo-moo. And so I love that show. Mama's Family. It was great.
It was all right. I haven't watched it in like 5 years, but
I have to imagine it aged horribly because it's not even on like Pluto TV or anything. It's just nowhere you know,
I can't watch anything that's got the canned laughter in it.
Yeah, no, it's awful.
For some reason, I can't.
And you
do
hear
it.
the same one guy laughing in the laugh track. Like MASH. MASH was the worst. They used that guy, and you would just hear that same guy at every laugh. It was like, stop it.
Hoo-hoo guy here in the front, stand here by the microphone.
Exactly.
The studio audience.
Exactly.
Have you ever been in a studio audience before?
Local stuff, not a big one like you probably have. I mean,
I have once. It wasn't through my music ties or anything. This was when I was a teenager. I went and saw Married with Children.
Okay.
Get
filmed. That'd be fun.
It was pretty awesome. The whole thing was an adventure.
Right.
Where I was telemarketing at the time, and my good friend and I worked with this lady who used to work on the show.
Okay.
And she was like, yeah, if anybody wants tickets. And she had given some other people passes to go at some point during the season of Married with Children being on. And at the time, Christina Applegate was like one of the hottest chicks in TV, right?
She was the
me, right?
Yeah.
So we were like, oh man, we gotta see this show. And it was almost like a comedy movie in itself, like the adventure of going to meet Christina Applegate.
Sure.
And my roommate, who he kind of looked like Dave Mustaine.
Okay.
And I kind of looked like Kirk Hammett a little bit back then. I had like long curly hair, and we had nicknames for each other. He called me Kirk Slammit, and I called him Dave Muffstain.
Nice.
Yeah. But anyways, he was certain that when we went up that Christina Applegate was going to fall in love with him.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'll happen.
And want to date him. And around that time, she was like dating Sebastian Bach and a couple people. But anyways, we took my Cadillac up there to Burbank or wherever they were filming the show. And I had this crazy, like the 1977 Cadillac Eldorado Baritz, as seen in the movie Goodfellas.
Yeah.
That used to belong to my grandfather, who ran a diner in Jersey in the 70s, and he gave it to me. And I really didn't appreciate it at the time. It was kind of a god awful monstrosity back then. It was kind of embarrassing to have, but, and it really was an eyesore to police and whatnot.
Sure. They,
you know, especially looking all heavy metal, you know, back then.
Right.
But, we decided to head up. Now, when you're on the 5 North, you get to this border check.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to stop. It's like an immigration checkpoint. And as we got up to it, the guy looked at us, and we were all kind of high as hell. And we ended up, he said, go ahead. Right. But we ended up laughing or something, and he changed his mind.
Okay.
And he like slams the car, and he's like, stop, Rick. And we were like, did he say stop? You know, and I kept going for a little bit, but then I noticed they had like closed everything, and there was these flashing lights on the overpass, and I was like, oh shit. And then I had to like drive backwards, and I did the worst job of trying to drive this boat backwards to the side. It just looked terrible. And when we got out, I remember they did find some stuff. They found a little bit of weed and whatnot, but they basically, and some alcohol. We had been drinking, open container, we had weed.
How old were you?
Oh god, I think I was 18.
Okay, and, so you're underage there too.
yeah. So they basically, if I recall, they just made us throw it away.
Right, okay, that's
but I was so ballsy that I remember I actually like acted like I was throwing it away, and then I picked it up and stuck it back up my sleeve like Houdini.
Jesus.
You know, David Blaine. I was like, woo-hoo.
Right.
Presto, it's back in my jacket. And then, I don't know. They ended up letting us go. That was the good news.
That's cool.
Yeah. They did freak out for a second because they found these rocks in the back.
Right.
It's like crack rocks. But what it was, in Southern California, the gardeners throw their business cards in people's driveways. And to weigh it down, they use these rocks. And they throw the rocks with their business card in people's driveways. And one of those bags of rocks happened to be in the back of my car for some reason. So they kind of freaked out for a second. But anyways, they ended up letting us go. That was one of the times that I've been let go.
That's
which was
good.
Great, because we almost didn't get to go see Married with Children get filmed.
Right.
So
was it fun being actually at the shoot?
Okay, so yeah, we get up there, and it was interesting. You know how they do it. They basically have a kind of a comedian-ish kind of dude that gets the crowd kind of loosened up a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's making jokes, and he actually came up and made fun of me on there. He's like, yeah, you know, we have a, you know, a star here tonight. You guys might not be aware, but you might recognize him from America's Most Wanted, you know.
Right.
I was like, ah, dick. But anyways, then the show gets filmed and they kind of bring out the cast. Al Bundy, Bud Bundy, and sure. Peg, and Christina Applegate. Christina. They all kind of say hi. The neighbor, I guess, the chick, the neighbor chick.
Marcy.
Yeah. And her husband.
Steve.
Right?
I'm a total fan of that show. I love it.
Loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I did get a cool bumper sticker from it that said, "Hell yeah, I watch Married with Children." I would keep that on the back of the Cadillac.
Nice.
So just, yeah. Anyways. But yeah, so we watched the episode and they kind of film it just like you see it.
Do they do stop takes and everything? Like
they do stop takes, yeah. And if one of them kind of messes up, which Marcy was the only one I recall having a mess up where she was like, "Ah, fuck." And then she had to like do it again or whatever right. her scene was. Everybody else kind of nailed their parts really quick so they could just get the hell out of there.
Right. So how long, I mean, the show is what, 25 minutes or whatever. How long does it take to shoot? An hour?
That's a good question. I would say, yeah, I think they knocked that thing out in like an hour or so.
Okay. Yeah.
I would imagine they might have practiced this during the week, you know.
And they usually do what, a table read or something like before or anyway, right. don't they?
Yeah.
Know, they do a walkthrough or a table walkthrough.
There wasn't much, you know, set changes. You know, when you watch that show between the commercial breaks, they're usually right. in one scene at a time. And I think right. they only had to set up like three shots for this particular, you know, episode.
Yeah. And when you're thinking about it, Married with Children, they 99% of it is shot in the one room. You know, the house
yeah.
is one room. And then maybe they might have like a second set for like the shoe store or something.
Yep.
That's about it. That's about all they had.
But at the end, you got to like go up and they kind of stood there while everybody gets to do almost like a meet and greet at the end and walk up and say hey to each one of them. And
right.
I went up and then Christina Applegate's there and I got to you know, shake her hand for a second. And then sure. Dave Mustaine went up to go meet her and she turned around and walked away. Which was funny. Like a total burn. He was a good looking dude, but I mean, for some reason, she just, I don't know, decided that she was done with the meeting.
She probably took one look at him and got that vibe that he was going to hit on her.
Yeah, he did. He was kind of one of those dudes that kind of looked very hungry or whatever.
Opening the shirt as she's walking closer. Hey, baby.
Yeah. Well, we were both young. Again, I was right. 18. He was probably 20.
Yeah, and she was dating rock stars. The last thing she's going to do is date some dude in the audience.
Right. That she would have recognized anybody famous right. back then anyway, and she knew we weren't.
Right.
She's like, these are some scuffed up Metallica yeah. Megadeth guys here.
Right.
Kirk Slammett and Dave Mustaine here. No thanks.
Yeah, these are the dorks that can't afford the tickets to Friends.
Right. I don't know. Friends wasn't even a show yet. That was like I'm a 90s.
What was out at that point? What, Alf or something?
Mama's Place.
Yeah, that's right. Mama's Family.
Mama's Family. Yeah, I kind of screwed that up because I looked up Mama's Place and then it had the black dude playing the mom, the grandma or whatever.
Oh, like. that's Big Mama's.
Big Mama's Place. Right.
That's Big Mama's Place, I think.
Which is similar.
Yeah, that's with, what's his name? The dude that's always in the Bad Boys movies with
right.
with Will Smith. I can't even think of his name. That guy. Somebody will say in the chat room. But, yeah, what? I can't think of his name. Damn it. But, well, that's that's interesting to say the least, dude. That's the only time I've ever done any of that stuff TV-wise was just local stuff here. They had a show here, and it might have been nationwide, but they filmed here called Romper Room.
Oh, I used to watch Romper yeah. Room.
And I was in the audience once for Romper Room when I was about 5. Thank you, Lisa. Martin Lawrence,
right.
Yeah. And then they had another show here called The Big Chuck and Little John Show. And it was kind of like an afternoon show where they would just play movies, but they would do little skits. Like in between the blocks of movies on the movie channel or the
okay yeah
the whatever
yeah.
TV channel
the local channel would cut yeah. in and have their little deal going. Yeah,
they would have their little 3-minute skits and Big Chuck and Little John. They were huge here. They were here in this town. Big Chuck and Little John was a humongous deal, And I actually appeared on that show. I actually not only sat in the audience, but they pulled me out for some skit, and then I didn't win whatever prize, and then I cried like a baby. I was like 13, too. How embarrassing.
I thought you were going to say like 7 or something.
No, I was like 13 years old. They brought me and 2 other kids up to do some stupid trivia thing, and I lost on TV, and I just felt like, you know, all my friends are going to make fun of me. Mom! You know? crying like a baby.
I'm more interested with what happened with Romper Room.
Yeah, I just sat there and watched it, and you know, I mean, we just sat there and watched it. She did her little puppet show and did the little, you know, whatever. I don't even remember what they do on Romper Room, but
yeah, it's been a minute, right? I think I was like 4 when I watched that.
Yeah, all I remember about Romper Room was they all had us wearing name tags, and like, remember at the end of Romper Room, she would hold up the mirror and she'd be like, I see Billy and I see Mary and I see John.
And if they said your name, you were like, you'd freak out. Like,
yeah. Well, I figured out how they did it, because she would hold it like to the side of her face, but the way the camera was angled looked like it was in front of her. And she was looking at the names on the name tags that were 6 feet in front of her. Because she called every one of us that was in the first 2 rows.
Oh, I see. Well, at home, for those of us watching it at home, Romper Room, if they, it seemed like she was talking to us in the studio audience.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude, I mean, I watched Romper Room for years. And every time she would say Chris, which, gee, imagine that, she saw Chris. You know, that was really rare, right? That was like every other show. And every time I was like, see, Mom, she sees me. I'm going to keep watching.
Do you ever get WPIX out there?
Mm-mm, what is that?
Okay, that was like in New Jersey and New York. And I remember as a kid, they would do cutaways where they would have this video game sequence where it was almost like a Space Invaders kind of thing. And you would call in as a kid. And if you said picks, they would shoot. They would shoot. So you'd be like, picks, picks. Picks, and it would shoot a laser up and try to match you saying
nice,
and then some kids would try to like cheat the system. They'd be like picks. This is trying to keep constant. Yeah.
Nice, very
it's funny.
Cool.
Like kids show cutaway stuff.
I know, dude. The old days. Well, let's move away from the old days of TV. We're gonna move to the new days of TV with our first guest, who is gonna be on TV. April the 25th, I think, and I could be wrong on that. I'm doing this off the top of my head, but he's going to be on a show on Paramount Plus. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about his music, and we're going to not offend him, because I've read, he'll beat the hell out of us. So,
No.
I don't want any problems with our next guest, but, Andrew Hagar will be joining us next. So why don't we play little clip of some of his music, and then we will come back with Andrew Hagar right here on Chris Aiken Presents.